If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to read from the NIV in Exodus chapter 3. And I'm going to read a bit. It should be up on the screens. For those who've got good enough eyes, you can read that, I hope. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he took the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, as it was known. And verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw through the bush, he saw that the bush was on fire, did not burn up. In verse 3, so Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. In verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. What else would you say when you hear that? We got some friends who live close by, and the other day I saw them coming down the road. They were walking their dog, and so I hid behind the bush. And as he got close, I said, Tony, this is God speaking. And he stopped and he looked, and his wife was pretty startled. And he said, you shouldn't have a South African accent. So he was pretty good. He never said, yeah, am I. Verse 5, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then in verse 13, they've had a little bit of a discussion. And in verse 13, Moses says to God, suppose I do go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? What shall I tell them? Verse 14, God says to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. You know, last week Pastor Eleanor preached about praise, and she spoke about a lot of the disciplines of praise, and praise is not a feeling, you praise despite the way you feel, and all the real practical side of praise. And so I want to sort of climb the same mountain about praise, but I want to sort of climb it from a different side this morning. My praise will only reflect my revelation of who God is. That's what Pastor Darius got up at Life Conference, and he said that, and it blew me away. My praise will only reflect my revelation of who God is. You see, Moses didn't know who God was, and that's why God had almost introduced himself and say, I'm the God, the Father of this and that, and this is my name, this is who I am. My praise will only reflect my revelation of God. And so what I want to call my message today, if you want to make notes, is just get a revelation. Just get a revelation. That's my pursuit in life, your pursuit in life should be just to get a revelation of who God is. It changed Moses' life forever. He was never the same. I mean, why would you go back where they're trying to kill you? Why would you do all the things? Because he got a revelation of who God was. And he got that. You know, in another scripture, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the story of Samuel. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli the prophet, said, I did not call you, go back down. And in verse 7 it says, so that's 1 Samuel 3 verse 7. Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And we know the third time the Lord called, and Samuel got up and he went to Eli, the same thing. And Eli realized then that it was the Lord calling the boy. And he told him, go back next time and say, God, you know, speak to me. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And there's a time in your life and a time in my life where the word of God had not yet been revealed to us. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, Paul writes, and he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom. We all need wisdom. I mean, anyone need more wisdom? I certainly do. It says, and revelation, so that you may know him better. And that's, I believe, what all of us want to do today. You know, many people ask me often, you know, are you religious? And I'll very quickly say, well, I'm not actually religious, but I have a relationship with God. Because that's what the aim is of God revealing himself to man, is to have a relationship and enter into a personal relationship. You see, religion is man's way of doing a whole lot of rules to try and get to God. God has a relationship in which way we can then get to God and approach God. I thought, I wonder what the word revelation really means. And so I looked up in the dictionary, and it's pretty interesting. If you consider what Moses said when he saw the bush burning, he saw the strange thing. He said, let me go and see what that is. The meaning of revelation is a surprising or previously unknown fact that is disclosed to you. A surprising or previously unknown thing. Or it can mean a divine or supernatural disclosure. Something that gets sent to you. And I really believe that that's what we need to do. We need to just get a revelation. If we really had a revelation of who God was and what God was saying to us and His purpose and His plans and the future, we would not be where we are today. Amen? Now, I'm going to, in a second, going to put up a face on the screen. And I expect a little bit of reaction. So I sort of was worried you might not react. So I'm just priming you a little bit. You know, I wouldn't mind a couple of, you know, maybe a clap or a cheer or whatever you think according to the picture you see. Is that all right? Like a bit of a game. Everyone up to that? Okay. We'll put up the first one quickly. Yeah? Yeah, that's not bad. A bit of a cheer there. I mean, if he was playing last night, I reckon we would have won. Yeah? We certainly miss him. What is amazing while we're talking about revelation, I mean, you've all seen that guy maybe on sport. You know who he is, I'm sure. Almost everyone in here, I did meet some visitors today from Norway, I think it was. They might not know, but everyone else here should know who that is if I asked who it was. And what is amazing, who of you watched the game last night? Anyone see it? Who of you saw Richie McCaw last night? Okay, who of you didn't see Richie McCaw and you watched the game? Who of you saw him the first time though, not in the replay? A couple of you? Because I was watching the game and next thing you're on, oh, there's Richie. I didn't see him. And then they play the replay of his reaction to the try. And you could just sort of see, not even that much, man. You saw just from his nose. But because of the revelation that people have had of who he is, they recognized him. When you have a revelation of God, you will recognize him a lot more than other people. You can stand looking at something happened miraculous in front of you. And if you've got a revelation of God, you'll go, wow, look what God just did. The person next to you go, man, that person was lucky. He didn't get hit by that car. But because they don't have that revelation. I was amazed when I saw that last night. And I didn't think about it then, but in the shower this morning, I got to add to my notes. So that's pretty good. I'll give credit where credit is due. Okay, the next face, or next person. Well, I'm not sure you all meant to laugh. You clapped for the first one. There was a bit of laughter. Why are you all laughing? Isn't it amazing that the bit of revelation we have about someone can determine our reaction to them? I mean, you all clapped a bit for Richie. You went, yay! When you saw this guy, you laughed. I mean, isn't that pretty strange? Your revelation of God, how's it making you respond to God? How's it making you respond when God asks you to do something or when someone confronts you about something? The revelation you have about who God is, what's it making you do in your life? Is it even moving you? Then the next phase, we'll see if you recognize this one. Okay, well, you see, now for me, that's the pastor of the church where I went for 6 or 7 years in South Africa. And an incredible man of God, and much like our pastor, and just got a thriving church, and just amazing. But you notice the total lack of response, because there was absolutely no revelation. Who is this person? Isn't that amazing? How many of us stand before God, and we just got absolutely no reaction? Because we have no revelation of who God is. Amen? While I was preparing this, I did think, man, isn't it amazing? You know, I've put up those first two faces there. And, you know, most of us, if I said, do you know this person, or Donald Trump or Richie? You're going, yeah. Well, how many of you have met Richie? Can I just see quickly? How many of you have actually shaken hands? We've got 3, 4. That's pretty good. I mean, actually met him. Sort of maybe had him heard your name. Yeah? How many of you have met Donald Trump? Where's Logan? Anyone? Maybe. I don't know. Logan's gone to meet him. But isn't it amazing? You'd have said, yeah, I know him. And how do you know him? You know him because of what has been revealed to you. A little bit of the news, a bit of a snippet. I mean, Richie may be a little bit different because you've watched game after game. You know that he flies a plane. You know that he's retired now, that he's actually got married secretly somewhere. And you know some of the hardships and how he felt about winning and losing because you've watched interviews, you've listened to him. You could probably recognize his voice if he phoned you, I would hope. You know, but you sort of had all of this revealed to you. And the same with Donald Trump. I mean, you watch the news. Who have you even, well, I suppose you did, I was going to say 5 years ago knew about Donald Trump. I can't say that. Who have you knew 5 years ago he'd be president? Nah, man. The Simpsons did about 20 years ago, but Maybe that adds to the reason you laughed. But isn't it amazing that we claim to know someone just by what we've seen, what we've listened to, and what we've noticed? But when it comes to God, we all say, I just want to see God. I just want to meet Him face to face. Why is the written word, the revelation that we have, because that's what it is, the word of God is that written revelation of who God is. Why is that not enough for us to believe God? But it's enough for us to watch Richie a few times and to watch what we see about Donald Trump and whatever articles we read. That's enough for us to believe that they're real. But we question, is God real and where's God? When we've had more written revelation, there's been more written about God and Jesus than there ever was about Richie. Amen? And so that's a real interesting thing in our lives. We do not see God, but we have a written revelation of Him. You know, I mentioned the story of Moses. Moses got a revelation of God, and it changed his life forever. But if you look through all the prophets, and other than the disciples and the New Testament believers, a lot of the men of God that we know, or the prophets, the mighty prophets, they never saw God face to face. They lived out their lives full of faith and doing mighty miraculous things through the written and probably even mainly the spoken word that changed their lives forever. Moses saw God face to face. There were one or two other prophets, but a lot of the rest didn't. They saw mighty miraculous signs and things. And anyone you ever experienced or witnessed a miracle close or around them? Yeah, I have, heaps. And I think all of us, if we think about it, would have. But somehow we just want a bit more. We want to have what Moses had. Or maybe Abraham when he wrestled with God. We want something more tangible. But a lot of the prophets of old, Daniel, for example, would be one of the most amazing men of God that you read about in the Bible, and Joseph. And neither of them had a face-to-face encounter with God. They believed, they were stirred, and they were changed forever by the revelation they had about who God was. They didn't even have TV. They couldn't rewind and watch Sky Sport again to watch Richie do it three or four times. But they believed, and their lives were changed. I mean, Daniel said, you know, we'll go into the fire. That's how much we believe in this God that has been revealed to us. They'd never seen, they'd never touched God. But they believed enough because it was revealed to them. He said, even if He doesn't rescue us, we'll still do it. What a deep revelation. How deep is the revelation in your heart? And can I say something? Being a South African watching the game and the attitude and the way people looked at Richie McCaw, can I say that you choose how deep a revelation is going to penetrate you? I've had the same exposure to Richie because he wasn't captain when I moved to New Zealand. He became afterwards. I've had the same exposure, the same what you've seen, I've seen. I've been through the mainly highs. I think he didn't have any lows, did he? Maybe there were one or two. So I've been through the highs and the lows and everything. But somehow, he still has a bigger place in the hearts of the people who are born and live in New Zealand because they've allowed that revelation to penetrate deeper. And they believe it, man. If you watch Rugby Next to Ricardo, man, he lives and breathes the stuff, man. He never saw one good thing anyone in red did last night. He just missed that. But and so you know what it is? We choose how deep a revelation is going to go into our hearts. And so can I say that when God has done some miracle in your life or something amazing has happened in your life, you have chosen whether that revelation is going to impact you and change you or whether you're just going to keep it in the back of the cupboard and it's just going to be superficial. You choose how deep the revelation of God is going to go in your own heart and where you go. You know, in Galatians chapter 1 verse 11 and 12, and this is Paul writes this, and Paul he had a real encounter with God. He was blinded. He heard the audible voice of God. He had a real incredible revelation. In many ways, some of us sort of envy that and go, wow, I wish I could have that moment, that Damascus experience. He said in Galatians 1 verse 11 and 12, I want to know you. He says, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached, I want you to know, sorry, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by the revelation from Christ. So Paul's saying, you know, what I'm talking to you about is what has been revealed to me. And that's what I'm sharing with you. And that's all that you and I can share. But then in Philippians 3 verse 7, he says, but whatever was gained to me, I now consider it loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage. And this is what he says, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own, but one that comes from God through faith. And this is the part I really want to read. Verse 10. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection. And he goes on. He says, I want to know Christ. This is someone who's had an arguably a far greater, and we can never judge what kind of revelation anyone has had or what kind of revelation you've got. But I would say Paul definitely has got a much bigger revelation of who God or Jesus was than what I have. I mean, he had this light, he had this voice. It was just incredible. And yet he still says, I want to know him. I just want to know him. And some translations say, I want to know him more. And, you know, the Bible says that he is faithful who has started a good work in you to complete it. But if you read that, it says, complete it till the end. You see, I don't believe there's one of us here, and there was one person in Scripture that had enough revelation that said, okay, I'm satisfied. God is so big, you will be getting revelation of who God is and what God has done till the day you are taken up to be in heaven. So don't ever sit back and say, man, I've got enough. I don't believe you'll ever have enough. God is so big and so vast. Isaiah 55 says his ways are higher than ours. We can't even attain them. But we are getting this revelation continually if we're prepared to look and if we have the desire and the hunger to do that. John 1 verse 18 says that no one has seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, and he has made him known. So what it's saying is that no one has seen God, but Jesus Christ himself, is what it says, is making him known to us. Jesus came and walked on earth to reveal the Father. Not to reveal himself or what we should do or where we should be going. He came to reveal the Father. How many times did he say, I do what I see the Father doing? And I mean, that he came to reveal God and to show us who God was. You know, so many of us might be saying, man, yeah, I want to get a revelation. How do I get a revelation? And, you know, I can't really give you 5 points. This is what you've got to do. Because if you just read the Word, you'll understand that God has revealed himself in so many different ways. He spoke through a donkey. He came in a blinding light. He wrote on a wall, just a hand. There are incredible amount of ways that God has revealed himself. And I believe that God finds you at your point where you need to be revealed. You know, a incredible brain of scientists and whatever, if God revealed himself to me the way he did to that person, it would be wasted. We don't want God wasting his time because, you know, God has to meet us where we are, and we're all different. And I believe that God will. And in Isaiah 55 verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, I really believe that if you are sincere and you are hungry and you ask God to reveal himself to you, God will reveal himself. And he'll meet you where you are and in the way that you understand, the language that you understand. You see, Revelation, I mean, you're speaking on get a revelation. You might as well read something from Revelation. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. You see, I believe God wants to reveal himself to you more than you want him to reveal. God's waiting, and he's standing there knocking. And if you prepare to look and see it, God will reveal himself to you. And God will open your eyes to stuff that you maybe never, ever seen. You know, and I will caution you, and I think I've maybe preached on this before. We all say, man, if I could just see a burning bush experience, or if I could just hear the audible voice of God. Let me tell you now, I'm not so sure. You know, one of the prophets stood around and said, God, so that you are honored, bring fire down and burn this altar and everything on it. And you know what it said? Everyone fled. You know, sometimes we say, man, I want to hear the voice of God. And, well, I'm not so sure. You may not want to hear what he's got to say. And thank God he gives us the revelation that we can handle at the time. Because if God gave us more, I mean, you know, Moses, he was audacious and he asked God, I want to see you. And God said, well, you can't, but I'll just walk past you and you just see the back of me. And the Bible says that when he went back to the camp, the people avoided him for a while because he had to put a veil over him because he was glowing. Imagine you rocked up at work on Monday with a veil. So why are you wearing that? Well, you don't want me to take this off, man. You know, be careful what you're asking for, but I really believe that God wants to reveal himself and God wants to show himself. I know of a pastor who, in a shower one day, heard the audible voice of God just speaking to him. And his wife came home maybe 2 hours later. He was still in the shower. He almost had hypothermia. The water had gone ice cold. He was curled in the fetal position in the corner of the shower. She called the ambulance. They thought he needed to go to hospital. And he probably didn't even tell her for months what had happened. And he didn't speak about it publicly for over 4 years. Ask God to give you a revelation that you can handle. Let's just leave it at that. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2 says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. You know, I rather err on the side of Jesus' first miracle, maybe not the wine part, but I really struggle drinking water. Water is not my favorite drink of choice. I wouldn't say I hate water, but man, don't give me a glass of water. Sorry, I do appreciate that, but I don't need it right now. But yeah, I just cannot drink water. But if I am running or I'm playing squash and doing some exercise, man, I can put it away. I can drink a heap of water if I'm cycling or whatever, I'm doing some kind of activity. And I think a little bit in our spiritual lives, it's the same. You'll only be as thirsty as what you're using and exercising. If you may be real dry and got no revelation and no hunger and you're just saying, oh, I can't say my soul pants after God. I can't even say I've got a thirst or a hunger. Maybe it's because you're doing nothing. When you're exercising or doing something, and I'm saying get involved and serve. Do something, and I'm pushing it a little bit because I sort of run hospitality and we always need more people. But yeah, just get involved, do something, and serve. If you see a gap, say, do you think I could do that quickly? It looks like that needs to be done. Or if you see an opportunity, say, man, we've heard about those books in heaven. We've heard about the ladies' stuff there that Karen's doing in Africa. And man, let's get involved and do something. And when you start doing something, a little bit of motion, a little bit of exercise, you become thirsty for more. And you won't be satisfied with what you have. I find when I'm sitting on the sofa watching TV and my wife says, would you like a glass of water? I'll go, no, I'm okay, thank you. I'll just keep watching what I'm watching, even if I'm thirsty, because there's got to be something better. Good, a bit of tea with, or actually a lot of sugar with a little bit of tea or something like that. You know, just, but when I'm doing something, I find that there's a thirst and a hunger. Do you thirst and hunger after God? If not, maybe you need a bit of activity about the things of God. Come to church. Go to Connect Group. Phone someone and say, let's go and have a coffee and talk about God or the things of God. When you start exposing yourself to it, and when you start doing a little bit of exercise and get the body moving, you'll be able to drink a little bit and start being hungry and saying, my soul pants and I'm thirsty for you, God. You know, I think, and the exact same goes for an appetite. You know, I've got a good appetite. I enjoy a bit of food. But man, when I do a little bit of exercise, it grows exponentially. Yeah? Have you ever noticed, who have you got teenagers or had teenagers? Have you noticed that they sort of eat, and then all of a sudden they eat? You know what it is? It's growth. Growth demands appetite. And so if you say, well, I've only got a little appetite for the things of God, it's because you haven't grown much. And when you start growing, you have a bigger appetite. And you say, man, I hear people read a chapter or two or three a day of the Bible. I go, man, they're amazing. Maybe you need to just read a verse. Just say, God, you know what? I want to read just a verse a day. And there's lots of apps you can get on your phone or stuff. For those of you who don't know, apps, something you put on your phone and it gives you smart stuff when you need it. And you can get an app that will give you the verse of the day. And you can just get it in front of you and say, God, I'm going to read this thing today and I want to get a revelation. Just tell me who you are. And start with a verse. And maybe you too, in a few years, will be going for a few chapters or whatever. But growth leads to appetite. Thank the Lord it does sort of slow down as they get older. Otherwise, none of us would have enough money to feed them. You know, and I think I've mentioned this before. John Cameron, Pastor John Cameron from Arise, said one day that he challenged me, and I've been able to, by the grace of God, get real close to achieving this. He said, let the Word of God be the last thing you see every day, and the first thing you see every morning. Now, some mornings I'll read a chapter maybe, or some mornings just a verse. And before I go to bed, I'll try and do the same. And what a difference it makes in your life when you give in something a priority. When you're making something a priority. You see, you people had a good idea of who Richie McCaw was because you've actually made it a priority. You've made the effort to go watch a game. I mean, we drove around last night to try and watch a game, and we eventually had to go back to another place because the other places were full. But you made an effort, and you put in an effort to watch him, and you did it over and over. And every time the All Blacks were playing, you made an effort to watch it. And when you went through your news feed, you stopped on the All Blacks, and you read all about that. How else would you know that Richie could fly a helicopter and that he, you know what I'm saying? You made an effort to get some revelation. What kind of effort are you making to get revelation of the Word of God? Are you being committed? Will it be the last thing you see every day and the first thing you see every morning? You see, what's before you is what's been revealed to you. If you're not seeing the Word of God before you, how's God going to reveal Himself? The Bible says that even the stones will cry out. But I still believe that God's standing there knocking, and if you open the door, God will come in. And so I want to say, take the Word of God and devour it. You know, when you see a verse and you read it, say, God, speak to me. And if you don't hear anything or understand it, but read it again. And maybe try and memorize it. And just keep putting it before you. I know of a well-known pastor from the States. He came to South Africa and he was preaching. And this guy just knew the Word. He had no notes. It was just absolutely incredible. Fluent in the Word of God. And afterwards, one of the young and upcoming pastors from South Africa, a real young guy, just moved on from being a youth pastor, went to him afterwards in the visitors' lounge or wherever they were, and they were speaking. And he said, oh, I just wish, I would give my life to know the Word the way you do. And the pastor said, well done. And he said, what do you mean? He said, well, that's exactly what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your life to know the Word like that. And you know what? What are we prepared to give up to get that revelation? I am amazed with Google. You can find out anything you want. I mean, I know people who've been investigating buying a certain car or a watch or a gadget. Man, they can tell you everything about it, all the specs, how good it is and how long it lasts and how fast, because they've researched it and they've looked into it, and what they've actually done is gone and got some revelation about the product. Isn't that true? And then they go to a poor salesman who has to know about 500 products, and they wonder why he doesn't know as much about this one little product. But that's just the way it is. You can get revelation when you want it. What are you doing about the things of God? Are you saying, man, God, I'm struggling in this relationship, or I'm struggling in this financial situation? Well, open the Word. Google if you have to. Google's pretty good. Just make sure you verify it. But you can Google it. Say, Google, money and God, or money in the Bible, or finances, or relationship in the Bible, and you just read the scriptures that come up and just go through them. You can get revelation if you want revelation. Revelation ain't going to get you. You need to go and get it and try and do it. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up this morning. And I will go back to the title of what I was speaking about today, about just get revelation. But your praise and my praise will only reflect the amount of revelation of who God is in my life. And so today, I know we're all guilty of this. We'll stand in church and look around now and go, oh, look at him. He's just standing there. He can't have much revelation. Or look at her. She's not even singing. But you know what? This is something about you. Look inside your own heart this morning and say, well, how much revelation of God do I really have in my life? When we sing a song, do I sort of wonder about the lyrics and go, oh, what did they write that for? I wouldn't have written that, or I would have sung that like that, or look at the worship leader, look what she's wearing, or do you hear the words and just let it resonate in your heart and say, God, that's who you are, and will you do it again, and God, just reveal yourself to me. I believe there are moments that go by in this very church that we miss God. Because we're worried about, I wonder what slice we're going to get today, or I wonder if, I'll be able to get to the back and get one of those books before they're all gone. But we should be saying, God, just reveal yourself to me. I want more. I've never got enough revelation of God. And I might just need to say, God, in the song, you can reveal yourself to me. And I can know. When they say, just lift your hands, everyone. And something inside you goes, oh, I want to do that. Maybe there's a problem with the revelation you have of who God was. When someone, now this doesn't happen in this country, but in South Africa, if someone walks up to you with a gun, what's the first thing you do? You surrender because of the revelation in front of you. You surrender and you go, whoa, whatever you want, mate. Well, let me tell you now, when God stands before you, that should be your first reaction. I surrender. Because the revelation of who God is and what God has done, nothing you and I do compares. And we need to just stand and go, God, I just want to surrender before you. And I want revelation of who you are. You see, the more revelation you get, it'll move you from where you are. People say, I'm not satisfied. I haven't grown enough. I'm not spiritual enough. Or just get more revelation and the rest will happen. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. And if you do that, God will reveal himself to you. And so I've asked that we're going to sing a worship song this morning. And I want you just to do that and just talk to God and say, God, I just want more. I want you to reveal yourself. I want to know who you are. I want to know God. If Paul could say, after everything he knew and wrote, I want to know God, how much more do we need to be begging? God, I want to know you. Reveal yourself to me. So won't you stand? And we're gonna just worship for a minute and ask God that he'd reveal himself to us more today and in this coming week than we've ever experienced before.